We hope and pray that you've been edified by the singing of these songs to our great and matchless God, for the opportunity to be alive here today, to open up the pages of the Bible, the pages of the words of eternal life. And the thing is, Senator, in putting the whole armor of God, as we think back to our Bible class this morning, that we might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The only way we'll overcome is through Christ and putting that armor on. We're starting back in the Old Testament, and this morning we're talking about when was the seed promise fulfilled. You might remember last week we studied how God fulfilled His promises to Abraham and the nation and land's promise there. God made of Abraham a great nation, and when they were down in Egypt, as we see, they multiplied during that time. And also his descendants that went into the land of Canaan. Remember how they had failed, the fathers had failed, but Caleb and Joshua with the children went into the promised land. Well, we studied about, if you got nothing out of last week's lesson, but the fact that they learned that it was conditioned upon their obedience unto God. Well, failed to miss that point, so many failed to see that point, and thus fall into prey of those who would teach premillennialism, or the thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth, which is not true. We need to recognize that God kept all of His promises. He did not fail of keeping any promise that He had made, as Joshua had recorded and we had studied last week. We see the Israelites, that they had failed. Yes, they were restored back to land according with the blessings and curses of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, as we had studied. But we notice as we come to the Jews in the New Testament that God had cast them off because they rejected Him and crucified Him. And eventually, the temple was destroyed in AD 70 so that they weren't able to go into the temple and offer those sacrifices any longer at all. So there are no promises for fleshly Israel today, as so many had teach today. Jesus is not going to be reigning for 1,000 years on the throne of David in Jerusalem, because He's not serving in a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. We need to recognize concerning the seed of Abraham, as we notice concerning God had made a promise, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, that He said that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You might remember in Genesis 17 verse 18, He mentions about all the nations of the earth be blessed, or concerning one and the same, as you think about, it's not just for the Jewish people, for all people. That would include Gentiles, very likely all of us here this morning as we think about the seed of Abraham. Now, the distinction we need to make on this, as far as everybody is blessed, aren't they? It's a beautiful day. The sunrise, we have the opportunity to enjoy today. The beautiful sunshine, the clouds. Think about the plants and the trees that we see all around about us. We think about the animals. We think about how God provided the different seasons as we're enjoying warmer weather concerning our bodies that God has given us. That's a blessing for everyone. But everybody's not enjoying spiritual blessings. The problem is that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. And our sins have made a separation between you and your God. Isaiah 59, and verse 2. Failure to recognize that as we go back from the seed promise and look, well, let's just see how that's fulfilled. Well, it's because of sin that separates us from God. We don't enjoy the spiritual blessings, but we're going to notice concerning the promise being fulfilled, that seed promise. You think back to Genesis 3, verse 15, concerning that seed. You remember Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, but there was a promise made, and God spoke to the serpent with a promise of redemption. You remember in Genesis 3, verse 15, and the passage that are on the screen are going to be from the New King James Version. So I usually memorize the ones out of New American Standard, but since I think most people have the New King James, the scriptures on the screen will be from the New King James. Well, God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Notice your seed and her seed. When we consider that, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 identifies clearly the serpent is identified as being the devil and Satan there in that passage. So we're thinking about concerning the serpent being that identified as devil and Satan. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, we're looking at a couple passages in the Bible here. I want you to notice this. In 1 John 3, in verse 8, as we think about the seed of Satan here, in 1 John 3, and verse 8, the Apostle John says by inspiration, he said, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Think about concerning the New American Standard, we're talking about practicing sin. That's the kind of idea. Doing over here is one who is practicing sin. They're of the devil. They're following the devil. In John chapter 8, verse 44, John had said this earlier. In John chapter 8, and verse 44, Jesus is speaking to the Jews here. He says to them, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so we think about concerning those who practice sin or of the devil and recognize or is he is of their seed. Oh, those who are practicing sin. And many people don't get that or understand that or recognize that as Satan is working in this world. In Acts 13 and verse 10, in Acts 13 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul speaking of this one, Elymas, the sorcerer, when he said in verse 10, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to perverting the straight ways of the Lord? You son of the devil." You notice concerning the following, as you think about seed being produced and children being produced. Ephesians 2 verse 2 and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 talked about the sons of disobedience. These are those who are the seed of Satan. Think about Ephesians 2 verse 2, the prince of the power of the air and how he is working in this world. Well, when was the seed promise fulfilled? As we're going to notice in several passages in the Bible, somebody says, "Well, I already know the end of the story here." But it's interesting concerning those who are the Israelites, the Jews, for hundreds and hundreds of years, we're going to notice concerning it not being revealed here. We ask the question, was it fulfilled in Abraham's wife, Sarah, as she bore Isaac? We noticed that and studied that last week. No, it wasn't. He didn't bruise the head of the serpent. No, he wasn't a fulfillment of the promise. Well, it's noticed concerning later on, we already mentioned concerning Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Talk about the seed of David. David was a great king in Israel. Remember that Saul was a king first, and now David becomes a king. And he desired to build a house for the Lord. God made a promise to the seed of King David. He said, "When your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So we might immediately think, well, David, Solomon was a great king. So certainly the kingdom must be established with him, as you think about concerning all his wisdom and the 3,000 Proverbs that he wrote and the 1,005 songs that he wrote. And we read about a Song of Solomon, and we read about Ecclesiastes, and we read Proverbs and all those writings. And certainly he'd be the one. He said, well, he built the temple. Well, again, as we think about concerning conditional promises, there were conditional promises made, and he didn't fulfill them. We think about concerning God promised to establish the throne of his kingdom forever from that seed. Look in the scriptures. Was it fulfilled? The time of King Solomon and his wife Bathsheba, the son Rehoboam? No, it wasn't. Remember, there was a division in the kingdom after that period of time, as you think about the seed of David. I want you to notice, as hundreds and hundreds of years are going by, God has not forgotten his promise. And several hundred years later, as you might, during the time of Isaiah, as Isaiah is writing, hopefully very familiar to us, concerning the virgin birth in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Notice as time goes by, more and more specific things are mentioned. We're going to put it all together in the fulfillment of these in a few moments. God was speaking to King Ahaz during that period of time, as recorded by Isaiah. And he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 7, verse 14. A couple chapters later in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. So notice mention concerning the throne of David here, and concerning this child that is going to be born. And notice concerning God, to be called Mighty God there. So we ask a question concerning that. Ahaz, we said, well, I don't know about King Ahaz. King Ahaz had a wife, and remember, their child was Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was a great king, but he wasn't Emmanuel, was he? No, he wasn't Emmanuel. He wasn't God with us, as we think about that birth. Also, concerning the Son of Man, and during the time of Daniel, now maybe about 150 years or so after Isaiah is writing, Daniel seeing this vision, he said, I was watching the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. You might be even more specific. You might think, well, Daniel 2, and verse 44. You remember Daniel had the interpretation of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar concerning the different kingdoms during that period of time. As you think about the Babylonian kingdom and the Medes and the Persians and the Grecian kingdom. And then he mentions about the days of those kings. He's talking about the days of the Roman kings. And Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, set up a kingdom which will not be destroyed. And so as you go through a period of time and you recognize now there's a specific time when it's going to be established. During the days of the Roman kings. During that period of time. Now as we think about concerning the fulfillment of these promises here. And the seed of woman. I want you to notice how specific the scriptures are on this. Genesis 3, verse 15, as we mentioned, concerning the seed of woman, her seed and the serpent's seed there. As you think about concerning this spiritual battle, God did not forget his promises after thousands of years. In Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, notice it, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. Born of a woman. The seed of woman here in this passage here. In Isaiah 7 verse 14 concerning that virgin birth. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 and then verse 22 and 23. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Not by Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. In verse 22 and 23, all this was done to be fulfilled, and it gives a specific reason here. He said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now the whole thing is that when the Bible is so very clear on a passage of Scripture, how is it that the Jews don't get, when you look at an inspired writer and he quotes the passage and said, here it is, the birth of Jesus Christ is as follows. Here's the fulfillment of the passage. Here it is. The seed of woman is clearly fulfilled in Jesus Christ, as we have an inspired writer that quotes that passage of Scripture. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, talk about the seed of David. I want to notice concerning the fulfillment of all these in Christ. As is speaking to Mary here, and Jesus is not born yet, but as he mentions concerning what he's going to be in the future. Luke 1, verse 32 and 33. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him what? The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Is there any doubt concerning the seed of David being fulfilled in Christ? Somebody says, well, he hadn't even been born yet. So really, has that really been fulfilled? Well, you might remember as the Apostle Peter preaches after Jesus died, buried, and rose from the dead. And here are the eyewitnesses about 50 days after that period of time. In the middle of that sermon, he's talking about David here, and he's going to quote a psalm from David here. He said, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, talking about David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. As you think about fulfillment, Psalm 16 there. He said, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all eyewitnesses. All witnesses. I want you to notice the next phrase, next 2, verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and notice it, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was that promise that was fulfilled? Being exalted to the right hand of God. What is he talking about? That he raised up the Christ to sit on his throne. And how many missed this? As they believe in a future reign of Christ of 1,000 years. Well, the Bible says here clearly, he's been exalted to the right hand of God. He is reigning on David's throne at the right hand of God. Even today, as we speak, the promise of the Holy Spirit. As you think about concerning the Holy Spirit, of course, revealing it to apostles and prophets, and of course, David being a prophet of God, resurrection from the dead. Seed of David is fulfilled in Christ. He is sitting on David's throne at the right hand of God. Also, as you look upon the seed of Abraham here, we mentioned that in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 there in that passage. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Galatian brethren. Galatians 3 verse 8, where he said, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. God knew that was going to happen. Do you know any man to be able to predict that thousands of years before it happened? For almost 2,000 years, somewhere around that period of time. Through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He was preaching the gospel of Christ. This was the good news here. He said, where in you all the nations shall be blessed. In verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. In verse 14, why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice the connection concerning the promise of the Spirit through faith. If that wasn't clear enough, in Galatians 3 verse 16, just pinpoints it clearly for us when he said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Galatians 3, verse 16, the seed of Abraham clearly is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Well, what about the seed of woman here, bruising Satan here? What about that? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. The Hebrew writer says, by inspiration, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he talking about Christ in the context here, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Who had that power of death? The devil. And released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want you to think about the connection as you look on Genesis chapter 12 and then going back to Genesis chapter 3. Why did I mention that way? Certainly Genesis 12 and then also Genesis 3. And some people say, well, how do they even fit together? Well, he even mentions here in verse 16, for he does not give aid to angels, as there were some that were worshiping angels during that period of time. Jesus is much greater than the angels, much better than the angels. But what does Christ do? He gives aid to the seed of Abraham. Connection with Genesis 3 and then also Genesis chapter 12. Yes, Jesus Christ overcame. Yes, he might have bruised his heel as he suffered death. But he was raised from the dead, as we already noticed in Acts chapter 2 in quotation of that passage. Yes, Jesus Christ overcame the devil. Romans chapter 16, verse 20, as Apostle Paul is writing to the Roman brethren here, he said, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Obviously, it's a figurative passage here as you think about concerning how we overcome the devil. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Yes, the seed of woman bruising Satan was clearly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What about all the nations? We notice in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, concerning that passage in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, and then in verse 15. The scripture says, a great multitude, which no one can number, of all nations, not just the Jews, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And in verse 15, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Yeah, all nations will serve Him. Well, that's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. One individual, as you think about concerning the fulfillment of all these passages of Scripture. What is promised to Abraham? We think about salvation. Jesus Christ was died, buried, and rose from the dead. And what was preached? Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Great Commission. Not just for the Jews, but for all people. And so gospel preachers go overseas to preach the gospel. We preach the gospel to every creature here that we can. Mark 16, verse 16. Lord, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. In Luke 24, verse 47, we don't quote that passage as much. But repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice concerning the Apostle Peter preaching the message there in Acts chapter 2, in verse 38 and 39. Here where they were pricked in their hearts, they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. When they heard the gospel, they were pierced to the heart. Same attitude that we should have concerning when we hear the gospel, when we're wrong. We ought to be pricked in the hearts, that we have that godly sorrow that would lead us to repentance. As you said here, in response to men and brethren, what shall we do? The Apostle Peter said by inspiration, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I should have had that also in there. Verse 39. Notice it. For what? For the promise is for you, your children. You, your children. Who would that be? Well, that would be the Jews. Of course, it's a Jewish audience. They come from every nation under heaven. Remember, they were to come three times a year before the Lord. And the day of Pentecost, here's the opportunity, time for the gospel to be preached as they're all there. But then he said, and all who are far off. All who are far off are the Gentiles, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 and following in that passage. And so when we think about concerning salvation is what was promised. In the next chapter, the Apostle Peter preaching again, in Acts 3, verse 25 and 26, notice the specifics and the quotation of this passage of Scripture. Acts 3, verse 25 and 26, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Now you think about that, a quotation, a clear passage that is quoted from the Old Testament there. All families of the earth would be blessed. Why? So they could be forgiven of their sins and that they can turn away from them. Turn away from your wicked ways in Jesus Christ. Yes, salvation is what was promised in Abraham. In Galatians 3, 26 through 29, the Apostle Paul, we already remember, mentioned Galatians 3, verse 8, and then verses 14, and then verse 16 in that passage. In verse 26 through 29 in Galatians 3, he said, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Isn't it very crystal clear as you think about what the Bible clearly says about this? I was thinking about, as I was looking through all my sermon outlines, I hadn't preached just one sermon dealing with just the seed of Christ. Yes, nation and land and seed promise, maybe in one lesson, maybe so, but the importance to us. And I think as far as looking upon this side of the cross, don't have the anticipation that the Jews had. When is it ever going to be fulfilled? And they're always looking for this promise. And here comes Christ on the scene. And what do? They rejected him and they crucified him. And yet they had the opportunity to still be forgiven of their sins. And for all those who are Gentiles thinking, hey, we weren't the recipients of this promise, but now in Christ Jesus, we know we can be heirs according to promise. And aren't you thankful for that? If upon your faith you are baptized into Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. Promise that God had not forgotten and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and it's still available for all people today. So God fulfilled the seed promise to the serpent, to Abraham and to David and Jesus Christ. After thousands of years, God didn't forget his promise. We might forget something that we promised today and forget it the next day, or maybe the next week or in the next month. God forbid that we would forget our promise and vow to our spouse to be faithful, you know, until death with our partner for life. But all these people lived and died. Promise wasn't fulfilled. And yet God fulfilled it at the right time as we see Christ being born of a virgin. He came to redeem sinners. That was the whole purpose. And even though Satan bruised his heel, he suffered death on the cross. Christ overcame the devil. He bruised his head as he was raised from the dead, sit on David's throne, God's right hand in heaven where he is now, even as we speak. If you aren't a Christian, you know the sad fact of reality is you're of the seed of Satan, because those who practice sin are of the devil, continuing to follow his ways. There is no hope of salvation in following Satan. Only condemnation in that last day. No sin is going to enter heaven. How are you going to get into heaven with your sins? That's not going to happen. Only in Jesus Christ are you going to be able to have that forgiveness of sins. That's why the gospel is to be preached to all nations. And it began at Pentecost. As we notice, you look at those passages of scriptures and you examine it for yourself and you recognize, yes, these promises were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to save us from the wrath to come. He didn't have the passage on the screen, but Romans 5 and verse 9. So ask the question, why not obey the gospel now? Why not obey Jesus now? Hebrews 5 and verse 8 and 9, the scripture says, though he was a son, he learned obedience to the things which he had suffered and have been perfected. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7 and 8, the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why not obey the gospel? It's very clear. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, will you not repent of your sins? Confess your faith that he is the Son of God. Be buried with Christ in baptism that you might rise to walk in newness of life. Those who've been baptized into Christ have put on Christ or clothed themselves with Christ. And then you can go on your way rejoicing. We can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and being faithful in the death, we can receive that crown of life. So if you're subject to heaven's invitation this morning, if you need to obey the gospel, why not now? All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come right now before judgment day, before it is too late, and you're underprepared to meet the Lord in judgment. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, God calls, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing Psalm of Encouragement.
All things are ready. Come to the feast.